front-end developer for the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter at Lullabot or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you. In this episode, I'm going behind the screens with Kaleem Clarkson. Kaleem, you are the organizer of the Atlanta Drupal Users Group.
I'm the Drupal Camp Atlanta project lead.
There we go. Okay. That's what I'm looking for.
So the Atlanta Drupal Users Group, there's a board. We have Eric Zimbrat, the president. We have Zach as our vice president. We have Taylor Wright as our treasurer. We have Sarah Golden, who's a board member at large. Shelley Hutchinson, board member at large. And then we also have Randall Kent, board member at large. So yeah, I am also a board member as well. And basically in 2014, Media Current used to kind of be the lead organizer for Drupal Camp Atlanta, and they did an unbelievable job. And as we all know, running this camp is a lot of time and a lot of effort. So it was definitely a scenario where, you know, they kind of needed to just postpone it a little bit, just take a second to kind of reevaluate how they were going to do it. And we were part of the Atlanta Drupal's users group, and, you know, we sent them an email and said, hey, you know, can we take it over if you don't want to do it, and if you're too busy. And they were like, yes. I mean, hey, here's all the resources. And, you know, so Dave Terry and Media Current was just so awesome. Adam Wade at the time, I believe, were just so great in providing all the resources, you know, the sponsor list and how they did it. They came and helped us a little bit as far as, you know, what you should expect, how, you know, and they really just gave us a great kind of orientation on how to run a camp. And, you know, myself and my wife, we have a company called Blend Me Inc. where we help remote companies who want to implement either remote, distributed, or telecommute programs. We consult with them on corporate culture, employee engagement, diversity. That's a big one. I'm actually working with a company right now on how to diversify their staff a little bit more. And we've been able to book, do some event planning, some conferences. So I was like, hey, you know, we can do this. So, you know, Kennesaw State was, you know, I was up there, had a lot of contacts up at the university. And, you know, we just went ahead and booked the camp and, you know, just kind of pushed forward. And that's where we are today. But we're excited. It's definitely the panel, I thought, went very well today.
Yeah, that was a great idea. Instead of doing just a single keynote speaker,
we have Ryan Zarama from Drupal Commerce. We have Damian McKenna from Media Current, and then we also had Jacob Rockowitz, who's the maintainer of Webform. Mm-hmm. So those guys are some pretty big hitter committers, and I was just so grateful that they said yes. And we've done a panel once before. I think we did the first year we did the camp, we did a higher ed panel, and you know, just it's something different. I mean, panels happen all the time, but. You know, hearing somebody talk.
Yeah, and it's not a pre-designed speech, which, not to say that those are bad things.
Yeah, we've had some, by the way, we've had some great keynotes, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Josh Koenig, you're a keynote, you're awesome. Okay, I don't want to knock our single keynotes, but we wanted to try something different. So.
Yeah, and I thought it went really well. I thought that was a really cool way to bring a number of people together. And just, I love the free-form talk. You really get more of a personal aspect mm-hmm. to the lives of these people who are dedicating a lot of time into the project. So I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And really, my first Drupal Camp Atlanta, you guys have done a great job with this.
Oh, this is your first one?
This is my first one?
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Great.
And it's easy to get here from the airport. I jumped mm-hmm. on the MARTA on the train and took that straight up. And then, like you said, walking around, I can walk up to my room and like lay down for 10 minutes if mm-hmm. I need to, and mm-hmm. then right back to the sessions here in the same hotel.
Yeah.
So it might be a little pricey compared to other camps. I mean, and that's a relative
Drupal
term.
Drupal camps.
Because
we
Drupal
looked
camps.
Around, and you know, it's funny. It was one of our board members. I think I don't want to call him out, but he was like, "Look, what we're providing is above what camps provide."
Yep.
We added a third. The other thing that we did that was different this year is we started on Thursday, And that was a suggestion that I want to say, I think Zach had that idea of, you know, I asked the question in our opening, how many people here are being reimbursed from their company? Mm-hmm. And I would say about 90% raise their hand.
Oh, wow.
So although, you know, there's hobbyists here and stuff like that, people are coming here to learn to help their company. Mm-hmm. So conferences, $85 is nothing. I mean, you know, South by Southwest, I mean, you look at those conferences, we're talking thousands and thousands for registration fees. So I just kind of feel like, you know, I understand the culture behind Drupal and keeping it cheap and keeping it affordable, but it's just not sustainable. It's like, you know, I did a lot of work in nonprofits. I got my certificate in nonprofit management, and it's kind of one of those false beliefs that nonprofits can't make money. No, mm-hmm. Nonprofits are, you're allowed to make money so that you can save some in case something bad happens. So our goal is to make $5,000 a year in case something bad happens, you mm-hmm. know? So we were like, we have to raise the fees to provide a level of professionalism that we felt as a group that, you know, Drupal's being called the corporate CMS or the, you know, I'm hearing that all the time.
Yeah, the enterprise level.
The enterprise level. Well, why aren't our camps enterprise level, you know, style? Mm-hmm. So we were like, okay, let's do Thursday all day trainings. We had a half day on Friday for trainings in the morning. And then, you know, we want to make sure we feed people good food. So we catered it on Thursday for all the people who came here and did a training on Thursday. And then we catered lunch today. And then we had a nice reception last night with food. So, yeah, we're feeding people every single day. And that comes with a cost. So mm-hmm. I'm very happy with how it went this year.
Yeah, I think you've done an excellent job. I'm very impressed with it. I came and did a training on Friday morning and then did some sessions in the afternoon, and the reception last night was fun. It was, there's a lot of things that are within walking distance, and yeah, it's all in all very well done. So
thank you
for that.
Thank you. Great team, by the way. I don't do that much, kind of do the website thing. Got a great team. I mean, like, you know, I'm not the best writer in the world, so, like, you know, we have, you know, Eric was really great with doing a lot of the writing, the Twitter account. I mean, like, just the social media, staying on top of it, the accounting from Taylor, and, you know, Sarah helping out with the graphics, Shelley doing a lot of the marketing for MediaCurrent, and Randall, I don't, it's been kind of a joke. People have been joking with us about our online advertising. I don't know if you noticed the little Drupal Camp Atlanta things popping up in your browser. But we had a nice Randall from Savah. He really helped us with the AdSense or ad roll.
Oh,
and basically people were like, oh, I can't escape the Drupal Camp Atlanta ads. They're everywhere.
That's
so
awesome.
we really did pretty well with that. So I have really great team, and everyone's really good. So it was a very good team effort. Very good team effort.
Yeah. So if there are people, we've seen a lot of the camps mm-hmm. and the local user groups kind of springing yeah. up. They're all over now. To be honest, I hadn't heard, I don't think I'd heard of Drupal Camp Atlanta until I started looking at, like, DrupalCal and trying to figure out what else was around. Like, some of the camps, just everyone knows the names. Everyone knows about Bad Camp in the Bay Area.
And, mm-hmm.
Nice Camp out in New York City, GovCon. So I feel like there's a lot of smaller groups all over the place that are popping up camps. What's one piece of advice you would give to somebody who might be trying to get their group a little more formally organized or who wants to put on a camp in their own town?
Yeah. So the first thing that I would suggest is the one thing that Zach Sines, our vice president, has done. When we made the decision to approach MediaCurrent to manage the camp, it was still a sacred entity. They put a lot of their blood, sweat, and tears into this entity, and to be able to just pass it over to a bunch of people, there was, you know, there was a sense of trust that needed to be built there. So what I would suggest from the beginning is organize your users group like it's going to be a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Organize the users group as if you're actually going to build a real company/charity. So what we did is, you know, we wrote bylaws for the users group. We came up with positions, terms, rules on voting and judging. All this stuff doesn't sound important at all to the camp. I mean, we're not even talking about the camp yet,
mm-hmm.
But what that does is that it makes people, when you deal with volunteers, and this is something I learned from running my, I had my own charity years ago. When you're dealing with volunteers, you don't have anything to keep them, quote unquote, what's the word I'm looking for?
Invested
or accountable. That's
there you go.
You don't really have the salary to keep them accountable. So the only thing you really have to keep them accountable is their public image. So by creating a board of directors and posting the board of directors and posting the positions within each group, there is a sense of accountability there because they're publicly a part of this group.
Mm-hmm.
And the group has rules and the group has bylaws and it's established. So the first thing I would do is start with that. Like, I know there's probably a Drupal Camp Florida is probably it's unbelievable. It's a great camp, and they I'm not sure if they have an official group or not. But the more, if you don't know the people, you need some sort of accountability, and that's the one thing that I think we've done very well. We organize our group as if, I mean, if we want to apply for, and that was always been our goal to apply for a 501c3 status, we would be ready. We'd be all set to go. We're incorporate. We have an LLC. So that's the first step too. Do not organize this camp under your own checking account. Do not do that because we signed a contract for $20,000 with this hotel. Do not run a camp and just be like, oh, it's cool. I'll run it through my business or I'll run it through my own account. It is not a good idea at all. Keep the financial separate. We have our own LLC, our own bank account. And everything is within that tax ID. So that's the first part of advice is the group.
Mm-hmm.
The second piece, find a venue that is going to be in the first couple of years. Find a venue that's scalable.
Mm.
So what I mean by that is find a venue that's going to allow you to go if you only have 10 people to 50 people to 300 people. That it's going to allow you to change the numbers as you're moving on. That was what was great about going to Kennesaw when we moved is we could change the numbers very late because we weren't paying for AV. We weren't paying for the quote unquote, the rooms per room. We were just paying an overall fee.
Mm-hmm.
So that is definitely the piece of advice that I would give. The two pieces of advice, organize with a company and an LLC or some sort of tax ID number so you're all protected because if something happens, you don't want the liability for trying to do something good on you.
Right.
So I would do that. And then the next thing is having a scalable venue.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to be able to change the numbers as you get further along. And then once you've got your core sponsors together, and of course, you know, getting the sponsorship stuff out, once you have your core sponsors together and they're kind of committed every year, then you can try to take a risk for, you know, a hotel type venue or something larger once you have more data. You know, mm-hmm. we know that we were going to have at least 80 to 90, 100 people, you know, and so we had that data to kind of make a educated gamble.
Yeah. Get a little bit more established. You can predict sort of mm-hmm. what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put on these camps, and I'm going to keep going with a few more of these questions because this is really interesting.
Great. Yeah.
Are you looking at, and we talked a little bit about this earlier, is there a certain demographic of user, quote unquote, in the community that we're going after? Because, I mean, the way we've been in the community for a long time, we mm-hmm. started as, you know, site builders, developers,
which
you kind of had to be that sort mm-hmm. of hybrid role. Mm-hmm. Whereas Drupal 8 lets you sort of split from that a lot more now. You can do a lot just by being a site builder, by installing mm-hmm. Drupal, clicking mm-hmm. buttons. You don't have to know the code. And I feel like the community has sort of started to split a little bit that way, where we've maybe the newer people who are entering the community because they wanted to create a site using Drupal.
Yes.
They are not as easily able to get in and touch the code and work with the code and become the developers or... Mm-hmm. participate in the community the way that we did traditionally. So when you put together a camp like this, is there any thought to how you structure sessions or who you invite to try and open up that diversity? Or are we really looking at the people who build Drupal as opposed to the people who use and
That's an unbelievable question because, you know, we probably haven't thought of the camp that way, to be honest with you. I mean, just to kind of how we plan, we just kind of put our head down and just started planning it. we basically depend on the community to submit sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And once those sessions are submitted, we kind of look at, okay, we kind of have a little bit of a historical knowledge. So we know front end and site building, those sessions need to be in the program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, front end, because it's almost like how I started. I started as my boss comes to me and says, I need this website with a password protected website. And they were like, try this thing called Drupal. So, you know, I start clicking around. I put it together somehow. Then I got to figure out how to style it.
Right.
Right. So now I'm like, oh, how do I style this thing? So I kind of feel like no matter what, every camp has to have a site building piece and then the theming piece. And then after that, you can get as complicated as you want. So as far as who you're trying to attract, it's really a wide spectrum. You're trying to attract the site builder. You're trying to attract the themer. You're trying to attract the advanced people. In a perfect world, we would really like to get more people involved outside of the Drupal community. You know, I've loved that the Drupal Island analogy from a few years ago. I think it's just the coolest. Whoever came up with it, genius, by the way. I can't remember who it was, but it was genius. The front end stuff is real popular right now. The React, I'm going decoupled. So, you know, next year, one of the things that we're going to try a lot more to be deliberate on is to try to find some more maintainers in the JavaScript community. I think that's important.
Uh-huh.
Also, probably Symfony. We had a couple Symfony talks, but really using the technologies that we're using that are from outside of Drupal, I think can add a lot of richness to the camp. You know, get a lot of front end people here just that are outside of Drupal. I also think component-based theming is definitely the future.
Mm-hmm.
That looks really impressive. So, again, going back to, you know, who's really doing component-based theming very well, you know, and trying to get those people here. So I would say who we're trying to attract are really the site builders, the themers, the hardcore back-end developers, and then the people who are outside of the Drupal Island technologies that we're kind of connecting with.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there's a place in the Drupal community for the people who, I guess kind of going back to the people who are picking it up for the first time, who were told for their job, or mm-hmm. is there a hobbyist section out there like, I'm going to try building my site in this Drupal thing, and they download mm-hmm. and install Drupal 8. Is there a place in the community in these camps for...
Beginner.
There's I guess you would call it beginner.
Yeah.
It's almost like a different type of, it's not something we've seen before. Drupal up until 8 has never really been a drop it in and build a site by clicking buttons and you're off mm-hmm. and going. Drupal 8 is really the first version of Drupal where you can create a usable site without having to plug a bunch of stuff in or write some custom code.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, maybe it is just beginner, mm-hmm. but this new sort of wave of this new life of Drupal, is there a mm-hmm. place in the community for people who are getting involved that way?
Yeah.
Or should there be, or how can we do better with that?
There definitely should be. And again, I kind of feel like the more you say things and the more you speak things in, I always love this term, speak things into existence, like keeps with us, everyone's saying it's an enterprise level CMS, like just stop saying that. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. stop saying it, because like we're going to make that true. You know what I mean? Like, there are plenty of people out there that just, you know, WordPress is, you know, look, there are plenty of people out there that don't like to use the most popular tool.
Right.
So WordPress is like the real soup. Everyone's using it. Mm-hmm. There's so many people that always want to do something that everyone is not doing. Like, oh, let me try this other thing because it's not WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine to be that.
Yeah.
Like, it's great to be that. So for me, yes, there is absolutely a space. So like the trainings for us, we always make sure that there's a beginner training, and that's in an all-day beginner training, because like just learning how to set up your local environment is a huge hurdle for a lot of people. So So I would say I would definitely say that there's a huge place for that. The trainings are really where that happens. And usually our beginning trainings are always close to sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that kind of shows you right there. You
know? Yeah.
Like Doug Van's done some great trainings. OST training has done great. Mike Anello from Drupal Easy. Like those trainers, their sessions aren't empty for a reason.
Ah, that's
right.
That's a really good point.
You know,
yeah,
the sessions are not empty; they're never empty.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's definitely a place for it.
That's really interesting. There's so many cool, like, just new facets to look at when you look at the community as a whole, because it is such a large and diverse community in terms of just skill sets, as well as backgrounds and the people.
Yeah.
So let's turn this away from Drupal a little bit.
Okay.
Because you've said some really interesting things about running your own nonprofits, and we talked a little bit earlier about your musical background. So
yeah.
I love this question. I ask everybody this question. Yep. If you woke up tomorrow and the internet was gone, you're not working on a keyboard in front of a screen anymore. What do you do?
I'm definitely going to be in a metal band again.
Again?
Yes, again. Yeah, so I was in a metal band in college. Hood, Hunter Orange, Overdose Baby. Try to find us somewhere. I don't even know if we're on the internet anywhere. But yeah, man, that live music scene, it's just there's some energy about it that you just can't duplicate. Being on stage in front of, you know, people screaming and crowd surfing. It's, you know, hey, wasn't Jeff Robinson a band?
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. Yep. Yeah, he toured a little bit in the Boston area, I think, right?
Yeah, he was signed to A&M Records.
Yeah. So I would definitely do that. I mean, if, you know, as I'm getting older, maybe I wouldn't be playing, but I would probably be somewhere in the music business, like a promoter or something. As you can tell, I like putting on a good party.
Uh-huh. You do a
very
good job of that.
Tons of good parties in college. Don't want to, you know, put anyone's stuff out there, but they were very good. I have to say the parties in college were good. So,
What instrument did you play?
Guitar and sang. So I didn't really know how to play guitar too well, but I figured it out after a while. But yeah, it was fun. I still have it. I have a Les Paul Smartwood. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very fun. What's the best concert you've been to?
Okay, let's see. I actually asked that question in interviews, believe it or not. So I have my answer. Mine would be Rage Against the Machine and Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the place in Massachusetts at the time, it was called Great Woods. That one was just, you know, two of my favorite groups. It was it was perfect. It was hard rock, you know, and then it was my hip-hop Wu-Tang Clan, my favorite, the best rap group of all time. No doubt, Wu-Tang Killer Bees. So, yeah, it would definitely be that. Close second concert would be the first time I saw Korn with The Far Side, which was a very odd pairing. Never heard of Korn, and they came out and just kind of blew my face out. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, man. That would be an amazing show. Yeah. So I always like to wrap up the interview with a little thanks and gratitude, because I think we've been in the community for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think anybody who has probably in any career has had a little push along the way, somebody who reached out a hand when they needed it or gave them a little shove when they were down.
Mm.
Is there anyone you'd like to say thank you to who lended you a hand when you were in need?
Yeah, you know, I would have to say Dave Terry from Media Current. Like, he's a cool dude, man. Like, the fact that they built up the whole Atlanta Drupal Users Group and the amount of time that he and Paul, actually, both him and Paul, Paul Chasen as co-owners of Media Current, their philosophy on giving back and their philosophy on letting their staff contribute. I don't know if you heard Damien talk about that today.
Yeah.
That they actually give them X amount of hours per week to contribute. I remember going on the very first meetup I went to. I mean, I was scared as hell, man. I mean, I roll in and the place was packed and all these people had these blue Media Current jackets on. And I was just like, who are these people? And wow, that's the dude who does MetaTech. You know, like, I was like, oh, that's that dude or whatever. And I had a bunch of questions as far as like how to do consulting with bland and remote companies and asked them, you know, like how to remote. He's just been, I don't want to say he's been my mentor. Dave, you don't know this, but you're kind of like my mentor. So just you don't know this, but like that's what's happening. And he's always just giving me really good advice. So yeah, I would definitely say Dave. And then as far as like hands-on Drupal, he doesn't know this either, but like Mike Canello. I mean, his website was where I got a lot of help and taking trainings with him. Chris Shattuck and him did a mentor training in DrupalCon Denver.
Yep.
And that training was like the first the first training that showed me how to use Drupal, like how to actually, you know, let go of my fear of the command line and begin using Drush and begin to start advancing myself. So I would say it would be Dave Terry and Mike Anella.
Yeah, the Drupal Easy podcast was definitely in my playlist. Yeah. It still is in my playlist.
Yes, that's how I found out about all these cool things was the Drupal Easy podcast. Yep. I was like, I got to listen to this thing. And he showed me the planet. I didn't know anything about Drupal Planet.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
So he's like, you got to get on the planet. I'm like, what is this? And he's like, that's the planet. You got to get on it.
So everything comes through.
Yeah, yeah. So I would definitely say Dave Terry and Mike Anella.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. Hey,
Kaleem, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks,
has been really an awesome conversation. I love Great. Getting into the guts of the community and stuff. And well done.
Thank you.
Nice job with the camp.
Thank you.
And hopefully I'll be back next year.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Whether you're learning how to build sites with Drupal or diving into the code, there are community-powered camps, summits, sprints, and trainings happening all over the world. Coming up in February and March alone, there are events in Princeton, New Jersey, Portland, Oregon, Milano, Italy, London, England, Orlando, Florida, Charlotte, North Carolina, Chicago, Illinois, Panjim, India, Essen, Germany, Amherst, Massachusetts, Buenos Aires, Argentina, and San Diego, California. Find all of these and more at drupalcal.com. And of course, if you want to boost your Drupal chops from the comfort of your own home, point your browser to drupalize.me and stuff your brain full of carefully crafted videos and tutorials.